London, 1964. Mourners are gathered at a graveside. A grey-haired man, George Gently, stares down at the coffin, looking unsettled. He remembers driving a car with a woman in the passenger seat.
You understand this. You understood the oath?
No, it was so English. All clever words and no passion.
No passion, right? Until I get you out.
They park and get out of the car. As Isabella makes to cross the road, a car comes careering towards her, knocking her backwards. Gently runs over and kneels beside her. He feels for a pulse, then puts his face close to hers.
And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
At the graveside, a tear falls from his face as he watches the coffin being lowered into the ground. He picks up a handful of earth and tosses it onto the coffin.
Commissioner sends his deepest regrets. We know you asked for a private ceremony, but he wanted somebody here to convey his deep, deep sadness.
I had no idea he was so deep.
He knew, we all knew, Isabella meant everything to you.
You know nothing about my wife. You know nothing about anything. You prefer not to. And actually, if Isabella had meant everything to me, she might still be living.
Corby, an officer, holds out his hand, but Gently doesn't take it.
Tell the commissioner. Tell him I'll be asking for my pension. That'll cheer him up.
Gently remembers gathering Isabella up into his arms.
Oh, God, sweetheart.
He holds her tightly, then lays her down on the ground again. Starring Martin Shaw, George Gently. The Coast of County Durham.
And out of the darkness, there she is again. The goddess!
The balls are freezing off here, Ricky.
Sorry, Evan. Born without a brain.
Billy Lister.
Billy Lister, you've been riding with us for 2 months, and you've asked to be accepted as a member of the Durham Defenders. Are you ready for the ceremony?
Yeah.
Go on, Billy.
Ricky and Billy stride towards the ocean together, while the rest of the bikers look on. In the shallows, Ricky grabs Billy by the lapels and dunks him backwards into the sea. A few seconds, he hauls him back out again.
Welcome to the family.
It was my fault.
It wasn't your fault. Don't be melodramatic.
But I'm supposed to keep you informed. I didn't hear a dicky bird, Mr. Gently. Not a dicky bird.
I never thought Webster would do this.
Nobody's seen him since. You want me to find him, Mr. Gently?
Oh, forget about him and forget about me. I'm finished.
No, Mr. Gently.
I come to pay my respects.
He takes the money Gently is holding out.
Don't booze it.
No. I'll spend it sensibly.
Spend some of it on a bar of soap. Goodbye, China. You take care.
Goodbye, Mr. Gently. Thank you, Mr. Gently.
Now, the defenders are riding along the coast road. Billy's he's being overtaken by everyone until eventually he ends up lagging well behind the pack. They all pull into a petrol station cafe.
Roberto, coffee for me and your monster fryer for Billy Lister.
Okay, coming up.
For Billy, all wet. Come
here. Come here, you.
Get off,
Laurie,
man.
Now,
wait a minute,
eh? All right.
Stanley! Elton goes over to Ricky.
What's the matter with you?
I don't like him.
Well, that's funny, because you brought him in.
I didn't know he was trouble then.
Thanks.
What do they do to you?
Laurie watches the waitress, Shirley, feed Billy ice cream, then lick it off his lips.
You've been asking for this,
Get off! What's the matter with
you? Keep your hands off!
Everything's cool, Roberto.
Keep it that way!
Laurie finally lets go of Billy, who looks at Ricky.
I have to talk to you.
See, trouble.
Shut up, will you?
So, talk.
Not here. Can I come and see you?
Come back the night, about 8. We've gone for a ride together, yeah?
Billy kisses him.
Is that what you're playing at?
Stares at Billy.
Sorry. Just need to talk to you. I'm going to sort him out.
Leave it, Laurie! I will sort Billy Lister out in your own way tonight. And I won't need to use my fists.
Shirley looks worried while Laurie puts another cigarette in his mouth. Now, darkness has fallen, and Billy's riding back along the coast road on his own. Only his headlamp illuminates the road ahead. Suddenly, another biker appears a short distance behind him. Billy glances back to see the bike gaining ground on him.
Please, God! God, please!
The rider glances into him, sending him sprawling into the road and his bike careering over the cliff edge. Billy lies motionless, eyes wide open. Daytime, and gently is replacing the flowers at his wife's grave.
Sorry, Mr. Gently. Didn't want to untroll, but thought I might find you here.
I told you I don't need you anymore. I'm retiring.
I've been asking around. The bloke you're looking for, Joe Webster, he's gone. He went to a funeral and never come back.
I'm not looking for anybody.
You're just going to let him get away with it then, Mr. Gently?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
My one-man mission to clean up the Met cost Isabella her life.
China takes off his cap.
She was a lovely woman. I don't think she'd have wanted you to stop. She was proud of the way you always done your duty.
Duty?
Mr. Gently serves the public, China. It's his life. That's what she said. It's his life. Webster ain't never gonna stop killing. Not till the day you stop him.
Gone where?
If I knew that, Mr. Gently, I wouldn't be standing.
Where was the funeral?
Oh, Hexham. I looked it up. It's up in the north.
In Northumberland, yes. Who died?
Young lad come off his bike. Could have been an accident. Could be something else. Local plods seem to think so.
Well, I think we can leave the Rutland murder to the locals for the time being. John, you're doing Suffolk. And Trevor, you'll be covering Eastbourne next week.
Yes, sir.
Which brings us up to date. Right, thanks. Enjoy the weekend, what's left of it.
Scotland Yard, London. As the other detectives start putting on their coats, Gently remains seated.
You forgot the boy up in Northumberland.
I didn't forget it. The locals have made an arrest. They don't need
Joe Webster was at the funeral. Any idea why?
This obsession with Webster, George, is doing you no favours. There are very senior ranks around here who seriously doubt your sanity nowadays.
You're gutless. And so are they. You've stood by and done nothing while criminals have come to work in the Met.
You said you were retiring.
Well, it's time for one more. While they work out my pension.
All right, George. Have it.
Corby puts the file down on the table and walks out. Daytime at Durham County Police Headquarters.
Are you Lorenzo?
Dunno. I'm Mr. Laurie Elton, John.
You can call me Detective Sergeant. Or Sir. Or Mr. Bacchus.
Or else what?
Or else I'll come over this desk and I'll smack your face.
Are you allowed to threaten us?
So you just happened to be on that road and he came across Lister dead beside his bike.
It's the quickest way to the Dice.
The what?
The Dice Cafe, Governor.
Oh,
that's where they all hang out.
Okay, so you were on your way to meet your mates, the coffee bar cowboys, and you came across Lister dead. Why didn't you ring for the police?
I don't know. Why do you think?
Why did you try and hide the bloodstains?
Blood?
What, you never heard of forensic science?
What?
Thick as ever, aren't you, Laurie?
Thick as a copper's wallet.
Hey.
Right, that's your last warning. Now, you tell us about the blood that we found on your boots and on your leathers.
Which you'd obviously spend half the night trying to wash off.
Well, who wants blood on the boots? Are you stupid or what?
Right, that was your last warning. That's police brutality.
Do you want another one?
According to Mr. Minchella, the owner of the Dice Cafe, your girlfriend was a bit sweet on Billy Lister.
What? He was a poof.
Right.
Bacchus throws something down on the table.
Is that your scarf, Laurie?
No.
We found that in your garage, hidden in a box of spanners. What was he doing there?
What? What's this about?
Did you find it the night Lister died?
What's he on about?
Right! I'm going to ask you one more time, and you're going to answer me truthfully, otherwise you're going to find yourself in serious trouble. Is this your scarf?
We know it's a scarf. We found it hidden in his garage.
Why, Laurie? Why'd you hide it?
Now, Gently is driving down a deserted road, consulting a map as he goes. His car cuts across the rolling moorland. At police headquarters,
silk scarf, you'd rather wear a bikini, man.
Okay, clever clothes.
Right. Laurie Elton found the scarf at the scene and hid it to protect someone.
He was there. He had a motive. What? He's trying to conceal evidence.
What motive? What, his girlfriend gave Billy Lister a kiss? No, man, no, this is manslaughter. Possibly, right? Possibly murder. Which means somebody could hang, and I reckon that person is the rightful owner of this scarf.
Well, that scarf's not Laurie Elton's, is it? Any idea?
Oh, yes.
Ricky's busy taking a sledgehammer to a used car battery. Bacchus comes to find him.
Ricky Demon! Knackering batteries for a fiver a day, who'd have thought it?
Do I know you, officer?
Oh, very good.
Well, I wear shiny shoes these days.
Anderson Street Grammar School.
Clear me in.
I was one of the mere mortals you looked down on.
How's life treating you, John?
You do remember us.
Who could forget such a sustained exhibition of arse crawling? Was anyone ever more pathetically grateful to get the prefect badge? So little John Bacchus joins the cops.
You have a friend, Roberto Minchella. Owns the Dice Cafe. Witnessed an embarrassing scene between you and a very pretty boy called Billy Lister. Later found dead with his brains dripping down a dry stone wall. Apparently, you said you were gonna sort him out.
Billy was a very mixed up boy.
Who mixed him up?
Ricky goes inside.
At school, we used to call you flamboyant. Are you still flamboyant, Ricky? Lost anything bright and lovely lately?
How did you get that?
Is it yours?
Where did you find it?
Where do you lose it?
Back at the police station.
Ricky Deeming in a holding cell. He admits the scarf is his, and guess what? He can't remember where he lost it. You don't seem very interested.
Why should I be? I'm no longer on this inquiry.
What? Says who?
Your father-in-law.
Why?
Because the yard wants it. I'm going to the mess. Do you want to buy me one?
Wait. The yard? Am I still on it?
I don't know. Ask your new boss.
Well, who's that?
Chief Inspector George Gently.
He's the top man, isn't he?
He used to be. He's a busted flush these days. Well, hurry up. He's waiting for you.
Gently has parked his car by the side of the road and is looking out over a lake. He pulls up in his blue convertible and gets out.
You John Backus?
Yes, Mr. Gently, sir.
Very impressive.
Aye, very popular with ramblers and... Well, ramblers, I prefer city life, personally.
I meant the MG.
All right.
Not standard issue up here, is it?
No, wedding present, that.
Mum and Dad?
My mum's dead. My dad got me one of those pop-up toaster things. No, I bought the car for myself.
You needed cheering up? I've been having a look at where Billy Lister hit the wall back there. Very nasty.
Aye.
According to Inspector Setter's notes, you've taken a bit of a wrong turn yourself. Ricky Deeming.
I don't think so, sir.
Because of a silk scarf?
Eyes up to his neck in this. He may have, had an illegal relationship with the dead lad.
Oh, I see. So why was Laurie Elton arrested in the first place?
Second set of tyre marks. You can still just about see him. Here and here. Now, the best matches of any of the bikers' wheels were Laurie Elton's Bonneville and Ricky Deeming's Manx.
The second bike needn't have belonged to one of the Durham defenders. It could have belonged to anybody.
Yeah, but then we found Lister's matching blood type all over Elton's boots and leathers.
And then the scarf turns up and changes your mind. Who actually discovered the scarf, incidentally?
I did.
Who reported the body?
A passing motorist.
So you let Laurie Elton go and arrested Ricky Deeming.
It's his scarf. I believe Elton was on his way back to the Dice Cafe, discovered the body, found the scarf and hid it to cover up the demon.
Why?
He worships him, they all do.
I see.
Will I still be on it, sir?
I'll let you know.
Well, shall I set up an interview with Ricky Deeming?
No, I want to start again from the beginning. Get Laurie Elton back in. Today, please.
Gently picks up the radio in his car.
Gently.
If you think I've made a mistake letting Elton go, you can just say...
Roger.
Yes, you made a mistake.
Laurie's bloody body is uncovered, slumped over a rock on the beach.
Yeah, that's Laurie Elton.
Has he been moved at all?
No, sir.
You found him?
Gentleman over there, sir.
Gently checks out the blood streaks on Laurie's face.
Arms outstretched.
His bike's on the rocks above.
What does that tell you?
That he was already dead when he came over the cliff. number of wounds on the side of the skull.
Caused by what?
In my opinion, something like a sledgehammer.
Back to your friend, Ricky Damey.
Who just so happens to swing a hammer from the left.
Which would give a wound to the right side of the head.
Exactly.
If the victim was facing him.
Aye, which I imagine he was.
Deeming has a pretty good alibi this time. He was with you.
It depends how long Alan's been dead. He's stiff as a board.
Tell me, Sergeant Backus, do you always decide he was guilty and then look for the evidence to support it? Is that how you do things up here?
No, sir.
I know two Home Office forensic scientists who specialise in it. CID goes to them. We nicked somebody for murder. We haven't got the evidence. Can you supply it?
I don't think that's correct procedure, sir.
No, nor me. I'm old-fashioned. I prefer to assemble the evidence, see which way it points.
Could have been an accident, of course.
Think so. You had a good look at Elton when you questioned him?
Known him for years, sir.
Perhaps you can tell me then if he had any eyebrows.
Eyebrows?
Because he hasn't got any now, and one of his fingernails is missing.
Backus kneels down to inspect the body more closely.
I don't understand. What does it mean?
It means he had no eyebrows when he died.
Well, shall I go to Damon's yard and look at the hammers?
Yeah, if you like. Yes, in fact, do.
Are you going to question him?
Not yet, but don't let him go. If necessary, invent something to hold him on. I'll talk to him after I've talked to Mrs. Lister.
No, I've already done that.
Searched the son's room, did you?
Well, I had a look around.
I'll take that as a no, then.
Looking for what?
Evidence.
Sir, the chief constable invites you to dinner tonight.
What are you, his social secretary?
No, I'm his son-in-law.
Are you? Oh, dear.
Does this finish my chances of working with you, sir?
Doesn't help him.
Look. Can I be frank with you? I've applied for a job at the Met. The thing is, it wouldn't do us any harm to work on George Denley's last case, would it?
Who told you that?
That it's your last case.
That it wouldn't do you any harm?
I've gotten off to a very bad start with you, haven't I, sir?
Yes, very.
You don't like me car, you don't like me suit, both too flash. You don't like the way I work on hunches instead of evidence. You think I'm sloppy. You think I'm unobservant. And then I cap it all by trying to impress you with my wife's father, who incidentally will probably tell you no even less about criminal investigation than I do about male contraception. Yeah, I made a mess of that as well.
Is that why you want to leave?
Partly.
Would your wife like to go to London?
I doubt whether Lisa would go with us.
There's only one thing I really don't like, Sergeant. And it's not what you've said, it's what you haven't said.
Aye. Fair enough. Yeah, biggest mess of all, I've let Elton go and now he's dead. And that's my fault. I was right about this being your last case, though, wasn't I, sir? I read about your wife. Sorry. Hit-and-run drivers, man, I'd string them all up.
My wife was murdered, Sergeant. Please send my apologies to the Chief. I'm somewhat monastic at present, and I'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock sharp. If you want to stay on the case,
yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Backus runs back down the steps to the beach. A man is lying flat on his back on the floor of a cathedral. The vicar comes over.
Are you unwell?
What?
It's peaceful here, isn't it?
Heavens, no. Of course, the cathedral overpowering. I call it brutal. I prefer this. See that? Used to be a wall there.
I'm new here.
called an anchorage. You'd have a hermit holed up in there for life. Little slit in the wall for his food. And outside, Reddy dug a grave, just waiting for him to drop into at the end of his meaningless days. Do you fancy that, Vicar?
The cathedral itself
built by Catholics. People like me. Entirely a left-foot building project. Now it's owned and run by C of E Nancy boys in two minds as to the truth of the resurrection. Look at Jerusalem. Jew says to the Muslim, sling your hook, Abdul. We built this, we're having it back. When's the last time you heard a Catholic saying, can we have our cathedrals back? We're soft.
I'm not exactly sure I understand.
Well, that's my point. You can't even do a decent burial service. You got no class. You're not a proper religion.
Is there someone you want to bury?
My colleagues, they've already been through Billy's things.
I'm sorry to bother you again.
Gently follows Billy's mother up the stairs.
Thank you. Who among my colleagues, exactly?
Sergeant Backus. And the older one, his boss.
Mr. Setters. Together?
No, separately.
I see. Can you remember who came first?
The older one. He wanted to search the room the night Billy died. Looking for clues, he said.
Your son seems to have been very close to Ricky.
Well, they were fond of each other, I think. Ricky came here sometimes. He sat for Billy. Billy wanted to be an artist.
So they spent a lot of time alone together.
It was a schoolboy crush. It happened to Billy quite a lot. He'd have done anything for Ricky, I think. I don't know why the world has discovered it so much. Do you, Mr. Gently?
No, I don't. Forgive me, you're a lot younger than I imagined.
I had Billy when I was 16.
Oh. His father?
He died when Billy was little.
This is all very sad for you. I lost my wife quite recently.
I'm sorry.
People told me the funeral would be a healing experience. It wasn't. Was it for you?
No. But perhaps his friends did, I don't know.
Were there people at the funeral you didn't know?
Well, I didn't know all of Billy's friends.
I mean, anybody older? Anybody who seemed out of place?
No. Why?
Mrs. Lister, have you ever heard the name Joe Webster?
No.
Never?
No. Would you like some coffee?
There's one more question. What did your husband do for a living?
Philip was a stoker in the Merchant Marine. One day he came off ship from Rio de Janeiro, went for a drink with his friends down at Tyne Dock and was never seen again. We think he went back aboard ship and perhaps fell into the water. He was never found.
Forgive me, but you live rather well for the widow of a stoker.
The pension scheme was very generous. I've had much to be grateful for, not now. I'll make you that coffee.
She leaves the room and gently walks over to the fireplace and jiggles it to see if there's anything behind it. Then he starts searching other nooks and crannies in the room. The inside of a globe, above the curtain rail, inside glass trinkets. Walking round, a loose floorboard catches his attention. He bends down and prizes it up. Taking out a handkerchief, he fishes something out of the hole. It's a glass jar containing a bag of white pills.
Mr. Gently, your Sergeant Backus is here.
Ricky Damon's brakes arrived.
He's having a hissy fit.
Get these to the lab for me.
What are they?
Speed, I think. Dexamphetamines. I found them in Lister's room.
What? Well, how come I missed them?
You weren't looking for them. How much do you think the pension is for the widow of a stoker and a merchant marine?
How would I know that, Guff?
Find out for me. Since Billy Lister's funeral, been any strangers on the manor? Anybody looking for trouble?
One of the bloke at the cathedral yesterday.
What was that?
Aye, London accent. Bit of a mental case. Hit a cannon over a head with a pair of binoculars.
Anybody with him?
Not as far as I know.
Oh, check that. Did you go to Deeming's workplace, look at the hammers?
Yeah.
And?
We're examining them.
Anything else?
Like what?
Had anybody been looking for him?
Like who? Look, you're gonna have to trust somebody, why not me?
Let's go and talk to Ricky Deeming.
Back at the station.
No, you can't be
hurt. Be prepared for the biggest load of shite you've ever heard in your life.
25 years in the Met, Sergeant.
Ricky's in an interview room.
The big cheese arrives. Why am I here?
Two of your friends are dead here. Yeah.
Billy and Laurie touched the darkness. That's all that happens when you ride.
Touch the darkness.
You wouldn't understand. You have to love speed.
Speed? Talk to me about that.
When you and the bike are one, the machine, the ghost inside the machine.
Sounds like a spiritual kind of thing. A heightened experience.
You're starting to get it.
Did you get that from riding? You don't need anything else.
You mean drugs? Not my scene. Mine.
The Durham Defenders. What's being defended?
We are, I suppose.
From?
From the bullshit. Dead-end jobs. Hand-me-down values, second-hand opinions, mortgages. No offense, but the sort of life Johnny I lead. And what sort of life do I lead? 40 years of chasing guys like us up and down the street so the world will be a safer place for other mediocre people to live their banal lives in. You. And your little woman on the front at Whitley Bay and the world rolling on forever and the whole structure never skipping a beat and nothing ever changing except the weather.
So, you're saving your apostles from the dead hand of the Uniform Society.
What did your world offer a little kid like Laurie Elton? Real dad dead before he was born, mother abandoned him. Your straight world pushes him and pushes him into ever tighter corners. Failed that your schools couldn't hold down your bullshit jobs. Life of crime beckoning. Predictable. But maybe not. Just maybe not. He got himself a bike. A family. And a set of shared values. And you know what, George? He took one look at your world and he wasn't interested in it. And neither am I. Your world's coming to an end, George. It's inevitable. You won't know England in 20 years.
I fear you might be right.
Okay, so, Billy Lister ran his bike into a wall because he wanted to dance with the ghost of the machine. And Laurie Elton drove off a cliff because he wanted to have fun touching the darkness. Oh, man. And you talk to me about bullshit. You want to do some thinking, Ricky.
Hey, why don't you start with this? How comes Laurie Elton left the scene of Lister's death with a white silk scarf in his possession?
It was found hidden in his garage.
Who found it, George? That wouldn't be John Backus by any chance, would it? Well, the same John Backus who, according to my solicitor, was criticised in open court for lying about a piece of prosecution evidence. Maybe you need to do some thinking, George.
You're free to go.
Good.
But I'm advising you to stay.
Why?
It's possible that this man will come looking for you. If he does, your life will be in danger.
Nice meeting you, George.
Ricky gets up and leaves.
I had to lie to protect a source. I had to. If I hadn't...
Bacchus stops to talk corridor past them.
Look, okay, yes, the judge criticised us, but the bloke went down for 8 years. I had to do it.
And the scarf?
Well, I never laid eyes on that until I found it down in the garage.
I have to ask. The Dexys.
I never saw them until you put them in my hand. Now, do you mind if I ask who's in that photo?
Somewhere secure.
Right, well, the office.
You're not listening.
Right, yeah, okay, I know a place. Yeah,
call forensics first.
Gently's in the cathedral, staring up at the ceiling. Bacchus comes over to him.
Pevsner calls it overwhelming grandeur.
What?
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather have Big Ben?
I'll be honest with you, northeast. It's the back of beyond. I can't wait to get out, Governor.
Stop calling me Governor, will you? Save it for the Met. What did the lab report say?
They are Dexys. Cut with a lot of vitamin C and caffeine, so nobody's going to get a really big hit out of them.
So, was Billy Lister part of an outfit distributing medium-grade amphetamines, or was he just a user?
The outfit being the Durham Defenders.
Yeah, it's possible. But how did a small-scale thing like that lead to two murders? Yeah, go on, explain it.
Right. Ricky and his pals, including Lister, run drugs up and down the county. Ricky kills Lister because he was going to blow the whistle? Anyway, Elton finds a scarf, right? Hides it, goes to Ricky and tells him, and Ricky kills him to cover up for the first murder.
Ricky Deeming's on another planet. The only way I can imagine him killing two people is by talking them to death.
OK, who did kill Billy Lister?
I don't know. I don't know who killed Laurie Elton.
No, 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 wait, don't tell us. Let me guess. Joe Webster.
10 out of 10.
Knew it. I spent last night trawling press reports. I knew somewhere down the line there was somebody whose MO was a blowtorch and a pair of pliers.
He holds up the photo of Joe Webster and gently nods. A little later...
Did Webster kill your wife?
He made it happen.
Why can't the Met move against him?
I know of seven, a minimum of seven high-ranking police officers in the Met who are on his payroll. I know who they are, and they know that I know. I've got no proof. Yeah. That's the look everybody gives me. You need to decide whether you want to stay on this case, Sergeant. You don't have to. Make no mistake, if he's come up here to make money and he finds you standing in his way, he will not hesitate to kill you.
Where do I start?
Billy Lister. We don't know who killed him, so let's look for a motive. See if he was dealing. You know the likely places. Have yourself a night out. Find out who among the Durham Defenders could have had possible links to Webster. Webster might have friends up here.
What sort of friends?
People who help him.
Are you talking about policemen? You're talking about my colleagues?
It's possible.
What about me? How do you know I'm not one of his friends?
I don't.
Gently walks out, leaving Bacchus lost for words. It's nighttime, and Gently's driving in his car. He remembers the last drive with Isabella. He remembers her getting out of the car. Then he sees the car careering down the road towards her. Now, Gently's walking along a darkened beach. He stops and stares out at the sea. Tears fill his eyes. He tries to blink them back, but grief quickly overwhelms him. He remembers cradling Isabella's dead body in his arms. On the beach, he wipes his eyes with his hanky. Marcus comes down some steps into a darkened, smoky club filled with people dancing.
Newcastle Brown, please.
He looks at the wedding ring on his finger and struggles to take it off. He sips from his bottle of beer as he wanders through the club. Then he notices two girls standing chatting with friends. He takes off his coat and moves closer to them. One of the girls leans over to him.
You've just about missed the band. Poetry starts soon.
Oh, terrific.
Charlie.
Hello, Charlie. I'm Bacchus. John. Bacchus.
Bacchus?
Yeah.
John Bacchus, everybody.
John Bacchus. You'll be having some wine, then?
No. I normally stick to beer.
Charlie sips at her drink.
I'm looking for someone called Lister. Billy, Lister. Somebody told me it might have something I'm looking for.
Too late. Little Billy's dead.
Thank you. Good night.
China comes to join Gently on the beach.
Mr. Gently.
China. Digs okay?
Oh, yeah. Nice grub and that. And the barmaid. Whoa.
Oh, good. Well, glad you're settling in all right. Well,
I done some checking before I left London. All Webster's blokes seem to be still there. Looks like he come up on his tod.
Don't understand him. It's not how he does business at all. It's been reckless as well.
I've been having a few drinks under the blue lamp, Mr. Gently. Your Mr. Bacchus is a naughty boy.
Tell me.
Got a right bollocking from the bench a year or two back for telling Porky's.
Yeah,
about.
I know about that. What else?
Oh, well. This is interesting. He drives a sports car.
Yes, I know. How does he afford it, then?
Well, this is the really interesting bit. His father-in-law is the chief...
The chief constable. China, I'm beginning to regret paying you good money to come up here and tell me what I already know. What about Valerie Lister?
Oh, well, no, I'm reluctant to even bother opening him up now.
Get on with it.
She's another one that got pregnant.
Well, considering I'm investigating the death of her son, that hardly counts as information, China.
16 she was. Bit young to be popping her cork.
Yeah, they could do with some contraceptive advice up here.
Ah, but she wasn't up here, Mr. Gently. She was born up here and the baby was born up here. But according to the barmaid in the pub at the end of her road, she come home from London pregnant to a sailor.
So what exactly did Billy Lister have that you might want, eh?
What was he to you?
I think you know that. Don't you, Mr. Bacchus? I think Mr. Bacchus knows more than he says.
Bacchus smiles at her.
Promise me you will not the fuzz.
What? On my mother's life.
You're too sweet to be a policeman.
So what do you do now, then, when you need a bit of a lift? I mean, did Billy have any mates that he came with around?
No, he came on his own. But there's plenty of stuff around. I could help you out for tonight, if you were nice to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sell us a couple.
Charlie reaches into her handbag and presses a bag containing two pills into Bacchus's hand.
How much?
That's okay. You just buy me a drink next time. There will be a next time, won't there?
Yeah, but let me give you the money for it.
Okay, just give me 5 bob then. That's all they cost me.
She takes the money and puts it in her bag.
So,
what's your name then? I mean, your full name.
Well, actually, my very full name is the Right Honourable Charlotte Dawson. But you can go on, Charlie.
Charlotte Dawson, I'm arresting you on the charge of supplying and possessing dexamphetamine. Now, I must warn you that anything you say may be used in evidence against you.
Please.
At the police station.
John, how's it going?
Fine, fine.
How's St. George treating you?
Nah, it's good. I like you. Why, what?
No, it's just he's been upstairs saying it was gross negligence to let Laurie Elton go.
Yeah, well, it was, wasn't it?
You'll be all right, obviously. You got someone up there looking after you. This is how he works, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it seems pretty straight to me.
Think so.
Setter shuts the office door.
He doesn't trust you, John. He doesn't trust anybody. Well, you know his reputation, we're all bent except George, of course.
Well, like I said, he's been straight with me.
Yeah? Where's he now? What's he doing? Who's he talking to?
I don't know.
Well, the next time you see him, why not ask him why a narc called China Mates has been asking questions about who John Backus drinks with and where he gets his money?
What do you mean?
No, this is how he works, John. Pits officer against officer. Destroys trust. Destroys morale. Destroys careers.
Oh, shit.
What?
He was asking us questions about planting evidence on people.
Planting what evidence?
The scarf and then the pills. Amphetamines.
What amphetamines?
I can't really talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, come on, for God's sake.
We found him in Lister's room.
John. John, you told me you found nothing.
No, gently found him.
Well, be careful, John. Be so careful. This man is determined to find corrupt coppers. Make sure you're not the one left holding the parcel when the music stops, yeah?
Setters turns to leave. A cell door is opened, and as Gently walks in, China sits up.
Hello, Mr. Gently. I'm sorry, China.
He comes to sit down next to him.
Who did it? I didn't get a look. Woke up in here this morning. I think they're on to me, Mr. Gently. Don't you?
I'll get you checked over, and it's time for you to go home. You've done all you can for me.
Thank you, Mr. Gently.
Setters is reading the paper. He looks up to see Gently come in and lock the door behind him. Then Gently walks towards Setters, staring coldly at him.
Can I help you, sir?
Stand up when you talk to me.
Setters folds up his newspaper, takes his feet off the desk, and stands up.
Show me your hands.
He comes out from behind the desk and holds out his hands for Gently to inspect.
No, somehow I didn't think you'd have done it yourself.
Done what, sir?
Not really the type, are you?
What type would that be, sir?
Do you know, Inspector, I spend half my life talking to the scum of the earth, and I pride myself that I never get angry. It's not my job to get angry. Get angry and I've failed.
I'm just a provincial copper, Mr. Gently. This is all too clever for me. Is there a problem, sir?
No.
Gently punches him in the stomach. As Setters doubles up in pain, Gently turns and walks out of his office. Backus is sitting in a hotel lounge smoking. He glances round at the guests drinking tea and chatting, then checks his watch anxiously. Gently comes in and walks over to the seat opposite.
Do you order tea?
No.
Excuse me. Tea for two. Toasted tea cakes? What, raspberry jam?
Certainly, sir.
Back his home.
Why here? Why'd you never use the office we gave you?
What have you got for me?
Billy Lister was dealing.
Got the proof?
Yep.
Good. And?
None of the defenders has form except Laurie Elton, who wasn't inside at the same time as Webster. Not in the same nick, anyway.
Valerie Lister?
Gets pregnant, aged 15. Living with her parents, presumably.
Why assume that? Don't assume things.
Doesn't matter. They're both dead. Okay, gets married to Abel Seaman Philip Lister on January the 3rd, 1944. Marriage certificates. Billy's dad is soon back at sea on the Atlantic convoys. War ends. He stays on in the Merchant Marine. Little Billy can't miss in much of his dad, which I read somewhere can, in fact, turn you into a Nancy.
Do you have difficulty with homosexuals, Sergeant?
No, I do not have difficulty. I just think the sooner they find a cure, the better. Because in the meantime, blackmail, suicides, murders...
Labour says they'll decriminalise it for consenting adults.
What happens when the supply of consenting adults runs out? Lock up your children.
I wonder if some form of electric shock therapy might help.
Nah, most of them are still queer at the end of it.
Not meant for you. Go on.
Billy's dad disappears, presumed dead, right? Then somebody starts paying all his mother's bills.
Not the ship owner, is it?
They've never heard of her.
No widow's pension?
Nope. So how come she's so well off?
Maybe she inherited something. We need to find out about that. Tell me again about how the white scarf was discovered.
Yeah, you've already asked us if I planted it, and I've already said no.
I believe you. So why was Laurie Elton released? Who took that decision?
Setters did. But on my advice.
Which he could have ignored. But according to Valerie Lister, your boss searched Billy's room on the night he was killed.
What? So now my boss is planting evidence?
Well, that's an interesting suggestion, but no. I think it's more likely he was there to remove evidence. Except he failed to find the pills.
So did I.
You went looking for them.
And Setters was?
I think it's possible. I also think it's possible that he planted the white scarf where you would find it. So you would suspect Ricky Deeming of murder and want Laurie Elton released.
No, hang on. You're saying, right, that my boss was in league with Laurie Elton in the distribution of illegal drugs?
I'm saying it's possible.
Well, I'm saying I find that completely offensive.
If I'm correct, the only advantage I have over Setters is that he doesn't know we've found the drugs.
Not until I told him.
What?
I'm sorry.
Both going on the same room bill, gents?
Is it any wonder that we have to meet in a hotel? If you can't keep your mouth shut about things.
We're not sharing a room.
Sir?
I'm not staying here. I live at home with my wife. I'm a policeman anyway.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Gently chuckles at Backus's discomfort.
If you were running this investigation, what would you do next?
I'd go and see Valerie Lister.
Correct.
Gently gets up.
Well, you coming? Or can't we be seen leaving together?
Valerie Lister pulls into her driveway. She comes into the house and puts down her bag. She takes off her gloves. Somebody's in the house watching her. It's Joe Webster.
Hello, Valerie. You're looking well, Val, really well.
What do you want? Why were you at Billy's funeral?
I stood at the back. Didn't want to upset you.
Oh, upset me? You're grotesque.
Look, if I could rub out what I did all them years ago, I would. I can't. Now listen, I want to talk to you about something. It's about Billy. Why don't you make us a nice cup of tea? What's out the back?
Bacchus and Gently are at the door.
Mrs. Lister, I wonder if you might help.
He had no right to come here. No right.
I'll go.
Webster's legged it out the back. Bacchus runs after him, hopping over the fence and running through trees. Webster hurtles down a tree-covered hillside, and Bacchus slides down after him. Webster crawls under a barrier. Bacchus speeds after him and does the same, following him down another steep slope. Two men race through the trees. Bacchus now just a few feet behind Webster. Bacchus accidentally careers into a tree and ends up rolling into a ditch. Webster escapes into the trees. When Bacchus straightens up, he's nowhere to be seen. A little later, he's back at Valerie's house with Gently.
How did Billy's father die?
It was a shipboard accident when Billy was...
You don't know that. He just disappeared off the face of the earth.
The ship owners accepted liability.
The ship owners have never heard of you, Mrs. Lister.
Where does the money come from, Mrs. Lister?
Shall I tell you what I think? I think the money comes from Joe Webster. I think he made up this fairy story about a widow's pension because he didn't want to face the truth. That it's blood money. Because Joe Webster killed Billy's dad, didn't he?
Valerie turns her gaze from Bacchus to Gently.
Mrs. Lister, Billy's father is still alive, isn't he?
Yes.
Webster didn't come alone because it was business. He came because it was personal.
Nighttime. Webster's standing outside the Dice Cafe. Shirley arrives on foot, but slows down when she sees Webster walking towards her.
You must be Shirley.
Yeah?
I just wondered if we could spend a few minutes together.
Why?
I'd like to get to know you.
She makes to go past him, but he stands in her way.
I was 15. The war was on. Joe Webster was quite an attractive man in those days. Charming, even. He had money. I saw him once or twice for a drink after work. I think he fell for me. I didn't want to see him again. I knew what he was, really. One night, he raped me. I've never been with a man before. I fell pregnant. I came back up home. My mother had died when I was little. My father and I didn't see eye to eye. He arranged a marriage for me, a friend of a friend.
Philip Lister.
Home on leave. I think my father paid him to marry me. I never saw him again. 2 years later, he was dead. And then the money started to arrive. And the letters from Joe. wanting to see his son. I told him if he ever came near Billy, I'd kill us both. I never wanted his money, Mr. Gently. But my father had disowned me. And all he cared about was that I shouldn't bring bastards into the world. He wanted them to have a name.
Them?
I was carrying twins, Mr. Gently. One died. One lived. The one that lived I called William.
Webster and Shirley are sitting in a car. He takes out a drawing.
I understand you knew my son, Billy.
You're Billy's dad?
He had a good eye, didn't he? Quite a good draftsman. I don't know where he got that from. Must have been his mum, right?
Didn't know he'd drawn me. You're such a lovely boy.
You and Billy, a little bit in love, Shirley.
Who? Me and Billy? No. I had a boyfriend. He died in an accident. His name's Laurie.
Ah, Laurie. I see.
Billy didn't have girlfriends.
Meaning what?
Nothing.
Meaning what?
Billy. I think Billy liked boys. Do you really think Joe killed Laurie Elton, Mr. Gently?
I'm certain of it.
Why?
Because Laurie Elton probably caused your son's death.
Well, the irony is, if he'd ever met Billy, he'd have hated him. How could Joe have coped with a son who was...
Did he visit Billy's room?
I don't know. He was here when I arrived.
Gently quickly goes up to Billy's room, and Bacchus and Valerie follow him.
The drawing of Ricky's Christ was here. It was there, can you remember?
Shirley.
Your boyfriend made a similar remark about my son.
You knew Laurie?
We met.
Laurie, bound to a chair.
Now, Laurie, are you going to tell me what I want to know? Or are we going to ask about all night?
I understand.
He referred to my son as a puff. Now, I asked him to explain exactly what he meant by that remark. But the poor chap was getting a bit tired and distressed by it.
Webster with a blowtorch.
So I'll ask you. Who turned my son into a queer?
I don't understand.
Now be sensible, sweetheart. Who is this individual? It says Ricky. Ricky who?
Ricky Demon. His name's Ricky Demon.
Where do I find him? Where do I find Ricky Demon?
Gently and Bacchus are being issued guns.
So is this wise?
Yes. I'll try and find the girl before Webster does. You find Demon.
I think I should come with you, sir.
This Deeming is after. Secure his house first, then come after me if necessary.
Is this personal, good? Sir?
Yes?
If you do find Webster, you might only get one chance. Put it in his head. All right, lads!
They get into different cars. Back at the Dice Cafe, a car swings into the entrance. Gently gets out and walks across the forecourt towards the cafe. He steps inside the darkened, deserted cafe.
Evening.
Roberto is standing behind the bar, looking anxious.
This is a place where the bikers come.
Yeah, but they're not here yet. About half an hour, maybe.
Is Shirley here tonight?
Two teas, Roberto.
Garnet gently.
Good evening, George. Sit down.
Gently does as he's told.
You're all on your own, Sam, are you?
Gently, calmly takes a seat.
I was sad to hear about your son.
I see. You don't sit at home with your finger up your arse all day long, then. You've been doing some sleuthing. You've been winkling information out of old Valerie. You're doing a manhunt, I hear. I bet they love that up here, don't they? George Gently himself in our town doing a manhunt.
You're looking for Ricky Deamy.
My God, you're hot stuff.
He's in police protection.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a girl called Shirley. She works here, don't she, Roberto?
She should have opened up for me tonight, but she's not here. Don't worry, George, she'll turn up.
Are you and Inspector Setter's partners in the drugs ring?
PC Plot doing drugs? You get into trouble.
Somebody's doing it.
Don't surprise me. Do you ever watch commercial television, Commander? The reason I ask is the advertisers spend more per head in this region than anywhere else. You know why? Because the lads and lasses up here will spend every penny on what makes them happy. Someone could make a fortune if they organised it properly. If it was me, though, could you see it being half a dozen kids on bikes?
No, I couldn't see that. But whoever was doing it cost your son his life.
It wasn't the drugs, George. Billy's life was ended because of the depravity of one man.
Mate, he hasn't been here for days. We're going. I want you to stay here, get a car, park it there in the shadows. Watch that door, right? Watch that street. If Demon turns up, arrest him. Right? And if Webster turns up, don't go near him. Get me on the blower.
Bacchus speeds off in his car, followed by two police cars.
Ricky Deeming didn't kill him.
No, it was that little tow rag, Laurie Elton. He was kind enough to tell me all about it, eventually. And you know why?
Because Billy was going to talk to Ricky Deeming about the drugs. Laurie Elton panicked. I don't think he meant to kill him. Just frighten him.
And why did Billy want to tell Ricky Deeming about the pills?
Billy had faith in Ricky. He looked up to him. Like the father he never had.
No, not like a father. Not like that at all.
Well, no, that's true. Not like that. Because Billy was in love with Ricky.
Infuriated, Webster puts the gun right up against Jen.
Where do I find Ricky Deeming?
Our men on the way, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Cavalry coming, is it?
Ricky Deeming's not coming, Joe.
Mantovani, over here.
Oh, don't kill him, Joe. What difference is that going to make?
Exactly. You can only hang once, so never leave a living witness.
Well, what about Shirley? At least tell me where she is.
I think she fancied a swim. Ice cream man here now.
You're a bastard, Webster.
I've got kids. Yeah, I'm an orphan myself. Never did me any harm. Face down.
Gently overturns a table and points his gun at Webster, who's aiming at Roberto. Webster wrenches the phone from the wall.
Get up, Roberto. Get up!
Roberto gets to his feet and Webster grabs him, pointing the gun at his head. As Webster and Roberto back out of the cafe, Bacchus's car arrives.
You drive?
Yeah. Get it.
Bacchus points his gun at Webster.
Roger. Back! Stand back! Come off to me and I'll kill him!
Lower your weapon, that's an order! Now!
Webster drives off.
Do you find Ricky Deeming?
No. Do you find the girl?
No. I think I know where she'll be.
Now, the two of them are striding through the shallows on the beach, silhouetted by the moonlight. Officers are dragging Shirley's body from the sea. They turn her over and check her pulse. Bacchus and Gently stare down at the dead girl.
You know, sometimes I reckon we should be the one issued with blowtorches and pliers.
You'd like that, would you?
For people like Webster, yeah, I would. What do we do now? Hang around here for Deeming's body to turn up? I'm going back to the station.
Bacchus strides off and Gently heaves a big sigh. An officer standing smoking on a terrace. He pulls up at the end of the road on his bike, but when he spots the officer, he quickly rides off again. Bacchus is busy doing one-fingered typing in his office.
You never told me you made an arrest at the jazz club.
She offered us two amphetamines for sale. What was I supposed to do?
You didn't solicit them.
No, I didn't.
I needed confirmation that Billy was a pusher. That's all I asked. Now I've got a London lawyer on the phone talking about entrapment.
She'll get off anyway. Dad's rich.
Which is relevant in what way?
He'll get her a posh lawyer. And then she'll cry in front of the judge, who probably goes to the same club as Daddy anyway.
Is there any prejudice you've managed to avoid? Let her go.
No, I need her.
Why?
I've got my reasons.
What reasons? What is wrong with you, Bacchus?
I don't like people who break the law.
Unless they're your superior officers. No wonder you want to join the Met.
Have you ever considered the idea of being loyal to the men you work with, or do you despise all of us?
I don't like officers who make arrests to make themselves feel good.
And I don't like people who send narcs to ask where I drink and who I drink it with when they could just ask me to my face. And you should have let me put a bullet in Webster's brain tonight, whatever the consequences for Roberto Minchella.
Who is alive precisely because I stopped you from trying. I'm not sure you're really a policeman at all. I think you're a vigilante.
I just don't. Can't be like you.
Ricky idles his bike down a road towards his knacker's yard. Stop, then slowly gets off the bike. He opens up the workshop and turns on the light. Then he wheels his bike inside. He closes the door behind him, then turns round and stops dead. As he steps forward, he sees that someone's fashioned a crude cross in the center of the workshop and pinned Billy's picture of Ricky on the cross to it. Suddenly, a gun is pressed to the back of Ricky's head.
Isabella was Italian. I met her in the war.
You saw active service?
Monty, 8th Army, North Africa. Sicily. Then up through Italy. I met her in Naples. And I went back for her.
Any children?
No.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, look at me and Lisa. Kids, not what we want. Don't even want each other, truth be told. Hello. Right, thanks. Deeming's been home. He's gone again.
Any ideas?
What, you want a hunch from me?
We've got nothing else.
Right, well, the dice or the knacker's yard. He's gonna have a key for that.
Which?
The nag is yours.
Right, let's go.
Shouldn't we get some more men on?
Yes, put the call in.
A little later, they pull up outside Ricky's darkened knacker's yard. Everything looks quiet and locked up.
Let's try the dice.
They pull away. Inside, Webster picks up Billy's drawing and stares at it.
Talk to me about myself.
Ricky's been chained to the cross in the center of the room.
Billy was a beautiful person. He was an artist.
What, like this? What was he, Picasso or something? Like Michelangelo?
You should be proud of him. He had a light inside him. He saw beauty in the world.
Beauty? What, like your...
Stop! Reverse, quick.
Window.
Right.
Okay.
Ricky's struggling against his chains while Webster paces round in front of him.
What did you do to my son? Did you rape him?
He punches Ricky in the stomach. Gently climbs over the back wall of the yard and forces his way in, while Bacchus makes his way around the front. Webster sets light to a blowtorch.
You should have heard your friend Laurie squeal when I did this to him. Begged for his ass. Big.
Gently makes his way through the darkened, disused warehouse. Bacchus tries the front doors.
Crawl for your own shit by the time I'm finished!
Fires his way and barges through the front.
You're going down this time, Joe. Be sensible. It would be meaningless.
Completely meaningless.
He holds the blowtorch to Ricky's face and gently shoots him in the arm. Webster falls to the ground and gently stands over him.
God, and George should shoot. Why not? Isabella. Lovely name.
Bacchus has helped Ricky down.
Foreign tart, was she?
Gently cocks his gun again and moves it closer to Webster's face. Bacchus watches tensely.
Come on, Cook. I'll back you up every inch of the way.
Webster smiles smugly at Gently.
There's meant to be a difference between us and them, Sergeant.
He lowers his gun.
Yeah, I've got a pair of balls.
Right. No, you're leaving, right? Leaving.
Bacchus pushes Webster onto a chair.
Someone get an ambulance. On its way, Sarge.
Did he scream a lot, Joe? Who's this? Laurie Elton, when you pushed that blowtorch into his face, did he scream?
Who?
Laurie Elton. You know, the lad I let go.
Sergeant.
Just a minute, please. He was a tough little nut, wasn't he? Bet you sort of admired that. I made of the right stuff, not like your son, Billy Lister.
Fascinating, though, this is.
Chalk and cheese. Wouldn't you say, Billy and Laurie? Poles apart.
Your sergeant on drugs himself.
Let's get him to hospital, sir.
Because the odd thing was, they were born on the same day.
Well, knock me down with a feather.
Valerie Lister, the woman you raped when she was a 15-year-old girl.
Well, what is rape?
She never told you, did she? She had twins. Two boys. I can show you the birth certificates if you want, and the adoption papers for the second born, the one she wasn't allowed to keep. It's true, isn't it, Guv? She had two lads. Well, he didn't go very far, though. Billy's brother, your other son. He went to a childless couple up in Newcastle. Aye, they brought him up the hard way. Brought him up the way you probably would have done, Joe. Aye, he had a bit of spirit. Made of the right stuff, not for this lad sitting round drawing pictures of other blokes. No, this lad liked his motorbike. Would you like to know his name?
Webster lowers his gaze, and Bacchus moves his face closer to his.
Did he scream a lot then? Did he beg for his life?
Webster's face becomes a mask of pain. Bacchus gets up.
Ambulance is here, sir.
Take him.
Two officers haul Webster outside.
What was that about?
There was a twin. I just made the rest up. Got the smile off his face, though, didn't it?
You are a very strange young man, Sergeant Bacchus. What would you have done if I'd pulled the trigger?
I'd have bought you a drink. Go on, admit it. You wanted to. Eh? And it would have felt great, wouldn't it?
Gently looks at him.
Let's go home.
Daytime, and Setters is sitting on his desk drinking.
So the politician says to the couple, right, constable, what'll it be, a drink or a transfer? Ah, young Mr. Bacchus, St. George's trusty steed and a hero to boot.
Right, go on, piss off, all of you. You think I'm joking? Go now.
The officers get up and leave. Bacchus stares coldly at Setters.
The night Billy Lister died, you went round to his house and searched his room alone at 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? What was it that couldn't wait till the next morning? Laurie Elton was murdered and tortured because we let him go. Why did we let him go again?
You wanted him gone. You were so busy trying to bring Ricky Demon down.
You planted that scarf, didn't you? Planted it where I would find it. You'd have let me charge an innocent man. You're finished.
Says who?
Says the Right Honourable Charlotte Dawson.
Go again.
Don't you know? Posh Bird I nicked for pushing speed. See, she could go down for 6 months. But instead, she's going to sign a statement. Send the Billy Lister told her that you were the brains behind this drugs racket.
Lister knew nothing about me.
No, nor does the Right Honourable Charlotte Dawson. But she's going to sign that statement when I write it. Don't you think? Because then, you see, I'll drop all charges against her.
Or?
Or you take your pension and you leave by Friday.
Catch it, innit?
What is?
Sainthood.
Nah, man. I'll never be a George Gently. He'd have charged you. Anyway, I have other plans.
Oh, really?
What's funny?
Bacchus is unsettled by his laughter. A leather strap is tied around Webster's legs and his arms are... A vicar stands before him.
Good
Would you like to ask God his forgiveness, Joe?
I'll ask him myself.
A hood is pulled over his head, then a noose placed around his neck. Standing on a wooden platform, he's flanked on either side by officers. A lever is pulled, and a trap in the platform opens. Webster plummets through a hole. Gently and Bacchus are on a beach.
Years ago, my first big job was head of CID in Dorset. There was a young officer there who became famous for what was known as his agricultural ability. He was the best at planting things. I tried to change him, but I failed. He is now one of the most corrupt detectives in the Metropolitan Police, which, of course, makes him one of the most corrupt policemen worldwide. It's a lasting regret that I couldn't stop him when I had the chance, which is why I've decided to chop you down now.
Chop me down? How?
I'm your new boss.
Oh, you're coming here? To this place?
Yes. I thought I'd had enough. Find that I haven't.
Well, ship's passing in the night and that, sir. But I've been offered a job in the Met. They're putting together a new squad to take on organised crime in Soho.
You'll be getting a letter.
From who?
The Deputy Commissioner. He's an old friend. I told you, Sergeant Bacchus, I'm chopping you down. You're staying here. With me.
Bacchus looks gutted. He turns and runs up the beach. Gently stops and stares out at the sea. He smiles and breathes deeply.